The first part of the dream would have me witnessing a scene. I would consider it a future view. The details aren't important, just that it had the same sense about it as another series of very persistent and consistent future view scenes that indeed came to pass. Not warning dreams as such, just glimpses at potential happenings that may occur at some point. It is a reminder of how we do receive information on the real side, and if we overlook them, not take heed of them, especially if they are heads-up dreams, we may find ourselves walking into the experience. The series of persistent dreams I had over several months being an example, and I'd be curious to see what becomes of these new potential view real side experiences. These, of course, can't be construed as prophetic. They simply are the experience that will be, based on the causes being set in motion now, the attitudes, thoughts, emotions, and agreements, etc. And so these future views can only be there as the effect, the experience that will follow the cause, that which we are projecting now, and so can be averted. If the cause changes, so can the experience, especially if one is connected to one's real awareness and stands in the new nowness, and so inadvertently generated karma doesn't need be concerned about or experienced, or in the very least, we can move from unconscious generators of our experience to conscious, and then ultimately further steps to move beyond the personal self and cause and effect altogether. Anyway, I would awake from my potential future experience and feel this buzzing energy about myself. This is an automatic thing and stems from my out-of-body and projection practice days, largely disregarded now in favour of more expansive and awareness-inducing real-side adventures. Nevertheless, sometimes I have this buzzing sensation, which I know to be the prelude to an out-of-body experience. So I focused upon this, and away I go. I feel myself shooting off someplace. Interestingly enough, I pass through a whole collection of doors of various colours and appearances. Never really seen doors before, and they seem to be in my path as I proceeded, simply opening as I continued. I found myself then in a room, and it was empty, except for one other individual, my sister Lindsay. She seemed somewhat oblivious and upset. I assumed myself to be on the astral. After a little time, I managed to grasp her attention and attempted to explain that I was on one of my out-of-body escapades, and the specifics of how this could be so. She seemed somewhat disinterested, and maybe just talking was a little dull, so we exited the building and found ourselves in an open nature area beyond, a little overgrown. I wouldn't say startling in its beauty, a bit rugged. But it wasn't the lower astral, at least. There were animals nearby, and I was unable to exactly recollect their appearances, but the size of cows, predatory animals, but seemed not to present a threat. Indeed, several of them came over, much to Lindsay's horror, but seemed they were curious, and I petted them. We moved on further, and into a rocky canyon. This part reminded me of how once, on encountering Gwen, my mother, on the real side, I would go on to impress upon her the malleable nature of these places, beyond the rigid physical life level, and she would willingly accompany me on an adventure. On this occasion, I would draw Lindsay's attention to a huge mountain, and promptly I made it erupt, like a volcano, spewing lava down its sides and into the canyon below. The canyon would begin to fill with lava at an alarming rate. And now we were joined by another group, all of a sudden, of equally as alarmed peoples. And along with Lindsay being alarmed, we had quite the situation of alarmedness. I wasn't very perturbed. In fact, I would produce huge sheets of cardboard and lay them across the surface of the lava-filled canyons. This seemed to keep the lava at bay, at least temporarily. As odd a situation and solution as this may sound, I wandered along the side of the canyon, beyond the alarmed group, and there was another smaller group of individuals, seemingly using some telecommunications device and in communication with someone. I had a sense these individuals were of a more aware variety. You can detect the subtle differences of awareness between real side individuals or wherever you happen to find them, and you can definitely impression the awareness of, say, a real guide. Another determination of an individual's awareness is how they tend to conduct themselves. The more they are connected with their awareness and operating from their real selves more so than the personal selves, the more calm, in control, and adept they are in any given situation. and this group were very much this way, on their little phone device, to whomever they were speaking to. I asked if I could use the phone, and proclaimed it an emergency, that I needed to get a rescue team out here to save the alarmed group I seem to have adopted, and Lindsay. The main one of the group would tell me how it was I that was orchestrating events here, and that there is no need for rescue, as I can just as readily rectify the alarming situation. I would grin and tell him I was just role-playing and requested they go along with it. He didn't seem too impressed, so I let him and his group be. I manifested a little control panel in the rock face as an alternative, and dialed in a special code. As my panic-stricken group watched on, I assured them help would come in the form of alien spacecrafts, and they would pick us up. And even as I punched in the keys for my message of requested rescue, it made that tune from Close Encounters. Da, 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 da. That one. Anyway, that done, I led my group to a location around the area where Lindsay and I had first emerged from the initial building. I suggested everyone watch the skies, and just as I had made the volcano erupt in the first place, I tried to have the skies filled with UFOs. All I could manage was the slight impression of them, the vague sense of the craft. I was somewhat disappointed, and my group were getting restless. But there the experience would end. With practice, out-of-body projections can become longer in duration, but at first, or if you don't practice them with any regularity, as I generally don't these days, you can only stay from the physical body for short periods, and then back into the physical body I went. So, I was probably on the astral, and encountered some others who were also. I'd say I specifically found Lindsay to try and impress upon her how there is more than just the physical, literal, one-dimensional, self-convinced life that she restricts herself to. And with awareness of the life levels beyond the physical and knowledge of their malleable nature, how things are more so created instantly with imagination, an opportunity to do just this. And so the experience would unfold as it would. As I considered it an invaluable opportunity to get Lindsay's attention, perchance something might filter through to her personal self on the physical and spark a little more interest in things of a more real nature. We would encounter these animal creatures too, and they seemed curious. I was reminded of how, with people connected to the true light of the ears, they tend to be a curiosity for creatures and other individuals. Often, their real selves will prompt them to approach, their real selves recognizing the light of the ears, and their personal selves then become inquisitive. So we always are sharing and presenting on the real side, or wherever we happen to be, with our connections with the ears, as it will be like a flame to a moth, and just being then a demonstration, like the sun, can be enough to glean attention of the unaware and share with them. We may experience this on the physical too, how individuals may be moved to friend us and be uncertain as to why, perhaps intuitive nudges or prompts from their real selves. Anyway, my volcano certainly got Lindsay's attention, and then I inherited another group of relatively unaware peoples. Sometimes we can get ourselves into situations as we go about our activities and do what we do. I was going to stop at the volcano, but the idea to have a spacecraft come and rescue my group seemed a good way to wrap it up and make for a potential awareness sparking grand finale for Lindsay. I had a sense that the individuals who had possession of the phone device were, yes, more aware peoples and were beyond the ability of my panicky group to perceive. Indicating why these aware people were so calm under the circumstances, that they were on a life level position, removed from this astral scene, and I had the recognition to see them and the life level they were on, but my panicked group could not. But I would continue with proceedings as I manifested my little keypad device, this aware group not wanting to play along. And perhaps if they were on a life level beyond my group's ability to recognize, it would have been a wasted element anyway. I may have disappeared before the panicking eyes of my alarmed group as I interacted with stuff on a life level beyond which they could recognize. I wouldn't want to add more panic to them. So everything was very readily manipulated up until the final part. On the real side, then, on the astral or wherever, manipulating the scenery is one thing. The cause, the want to do so, resulting in the effect, the experience sought instantaneously. As the cause and effect mechanic is this way beyond the physical. The principle is the same on the more dense physical. I might want to create something. It's just the effect, the experience, takes longer to come into being on the physical, even though it will be instantly there on the real side. So I had my volcano and funny little keypad immediately. Seems though what followed is a reminder of free will. How, yes, we might well manipulate situations on the real side if it is for a beneficial reason, for others' awareness, then we won't have to worry about the effect taplines that must follow, as we have done what we have with intent, the real intent and awareness that prompted our actions, and not just for our personal selves. But when it comes to involving spacecraft, and in theory their occupants, then we are dealing with free will. We might invite them, or request of them, or some might even demand. But to have another being do anything is according to their free will, their agreement. In this case, the aliens and the spacecraft did not come, and I did simply invite them to do so through my little keypad, that they might be a part of a mini wake-up for my temporarily adopted group. It was their free will to decline, and I didn't get their agreement. In other words, the group I had must also agree to the experience I was bringing about for their benefit, and in essence they did. The means to escape the volcanic situation via a rescue from the aliens. If we took the volcano to be a microcosm of the overall planet, as it continues its demise spiral, we can see how situations of disaster can be quite the incentive to get people outside their personal selves, how iron epochs then are more likely to have people wanting to become more aware and escape an imploding simulator, and have them more likely to agree to things they may not otherwise have agreed to, like the presence of an alien rescue. In a way, we can see how agreement is certainly sought through fear, and this is the principal tool of the controllers to get many of their agreements. But certainly, tumultuous end-time cataclysms will have the unaware maybe shaken out of their slumber, maybe at a moment that is too late, but regardless. However, maybe erecting a volcano or two in this way on the real side is an option, for often those we encounter on the real side seem oblivious to our presence, or simply are disinterested. So it's a quick, effective way of getting their attention. This is one of those being the recipient of attack experiences. I was in my bedroom and practicing just being by placing aside the personal self-thoughts and emotions. One can assume this state of being in the new nowness. Ideally, one would seek to be in this state as much as possible, but it's far easier to be so when removed from the distractions and happenings of the physical world, and having to deal with everyone else's decisions and created ideas. This state I refer to as the in-betweeny state. Perhaps a little inaccurate description, as it is a state of just being. So, in fact, one is not in between anything, just is. Why I call it this is very often I find myself, after a time of being, that I will be straddling both the physical life level and the real side, and can expect to have all manner of impressions and anomalies in my room that I can now perceive, where I would not, if my awareness was locked completely into the senses of the physical vehicle. From here, it can be very much like a dipping into the real side without full immersion, without going to sleep and placing aside the physical vehicle. From here, I can launch out of body experiences if I so choose, or lucid dreams, or I can simply be, and be the experiencer of whatever features in my presence and awareness. With imagination also, I can set the stage to an extent of where I may go exploring, or the nature of my exploration if I slip into sleep. It is also a place where much of the attacks by the dark forces and individuals can be experienced. The in-betweeny state maintained on waking after an attack on the real side can have said attackers manifesting in my room on the physical, as I maintain my perception from the real side, a little like an overlap between two subtle layers, maintaining the perceptual ability to see both. So aspects of the real side superimpose on the physical, or on occasion, as in this case, the other way around, where I would begin on the physical, be in my practice of being isness, my perception widens and incorporates both the physical and the real side, as I am in the in-betweeny state, and the attack ensued. It was a little difficult to determine at first the nature of the attack. To maintain my perception of it, the in-betweeny state must be perpetuated. If my awareness slams back into the physical, I can perceive no more of the experience. With attacks by individuals of ill intent, First, I tend to receive the impression of it, a foreboding, a sense of malevolence. Seems very often the intent of an individual precedes them, then the decided action follows. Like getting a real awareness sense of an individual deciding something before the execution of said ill deed, a real heads up, as it were. I recognized the nature, the signature of the foreboding. It was entity related. Having encountered entities, reptilians, and all manner of dubious, fear-based individuals on the real side, you tend to develop a real self-catalogue of the subtle differences. And so it was entity-related, the sort of individuals that lurk in the recesses of the lower astral. To my reckoning, the most forbidding of all, real self-impressioned sources of foreboding. And so, although unseen but impressioned, these entities clustered around me and had nothing but ill intentions, as entities have a tendency to be. I would begin singing my go-to defense for all things malicious and ill-intended, the new you song, as it is remarkably effective at dispelling ill-intended individuals. Seems that the vibration of the sound, which is that of the ears, for which it is the connection to, is such that those very much of creation, and particularly those of ill intent, cannot stand in the presence of this sound. They retreat, vanish, or run scuttling from whence they came. The new you song proved as effective as ever. I also have found that it closes portals we may inadvertently create, portals by which astral critters can utilize, although on this occasion I had no sense of portals as I have on other experiences. I am assured that as the new you song dispelled this particular cluster of entities, any portal would be sealed too. However, now I had slipped fully onto the real side, and I found myself initially under the covers of my blankets. But instead of how you might imagine this to look, it was more like a very long tunnel with a faint light at the end. I would make my way down this impossibly long tunnel and knew that I must extricate myself from this by the only way available, the light at the end. Perhaps a degree of personal self-panic crept in as I considered the light to be too far away to reach, so I broke through the side of the tunnel. Now I was in the house still, and beside my bed, but on the real side. I wandered toward the bathroom, across the hallway. The place seemed very gloomy. A darkness enveloping my surroundings to a degree, obscuring the house interior to an extent. As I stumbled into the bathroom, this lack of clarity caused by the darkness perpetuated, and then I looked in the mirror. My reflection was very distorted, my face misshapen and barely recognizable as human, or as having human facial features. The face covered in patches of dark bristly fur, and my hair was vast and overgrown. I then awoke back in my room on the physical once more, and began to sing the new you again, a precautionary warding off of entities. As my awareness was completely now on the physical, and if there were critters around, I'd be unable to perceive them. So I felt it prudent to sing the new you song, just in case they were there, but beyond my ability to now recognize. I can't ever stress enough the effectiveness of the new you song when it comes to unsavory entanglements on the real side. It is an invaluable means of dealing with individuals who don't have our best intentions. Through awareness, we can better handle any situation, and the guides always are close at hand. But the guides do like us to practice the handling of experiences ourselves. On the real side, situations tend to be handled by the real self and awareness far better, as the connection to it expands over time. So attacks on the real side are rarely an issue. In this in-betweeny state, however, I am less adept at handling situations like this one, despite the awareness being connected to, and so I rely upon the power of the new you song. With the tunnel in the experience, I am reminded of Claudette's experience, where she was flying through a dark tunnel and a light at the very end, when reaching this and finding a door barring her path, she would break through and meet Dwayne on the real side, proclaiming and having her contentions confirmed by Dwayne that yes, she had made it. She made it through the darkness of creation to the only light in the simulator, that of the ears, the new presentation, and Dwayne. This tunnel, then, was along similar lines, and perhaps again representing creation as a darkness of ideas that go nowhere, the light at the end being perhaps, like in Claudette's experience, the light of the true reality. Except I didn't make it that far. I broke through the sides. This suggested to me that perhaps I was trying to literalize too much, to understand the is with my mind, that perhaps if I just let go, recognition of the ears would eventually be gleaned. Rather than continue on through the tunnel, perhaps I thought I could figure out the ears to an extent, deciding to break through the tunnel prematurely with my literal considerations, rather than continue the course, as it were, the process of recognition. And so I found myself back in the house, amidst the same darkness that the tunnel housed. So much for trying to think what the is. I had gotten nowhere but back in creation again. And as a further demonstration of how I had not extricated myself from creation by trying to use the faculties of the vehicles to perceive the ears that are designed only for the creational simulator, and I saw my reflection as distorted. A demonstration then of the distortion that is prevalent in creation, the distortion everyone is agreeing with, and an extension of the distortion they must become as they experience what they decide, the distortion they agree with. The tunnel representing creation, yes. The length of it representing all the various ideas that make up creation too, and my busting out at a certain point suggested the possibility also of an idea that I embroil myself with along the way, agree to, and become the effect of. For to fully recognize the ears, the light at the end of this tunnel, we must get through all of creation and ourselves, everything comprising of ideas, and always there are other created ideas that present themselves to us along the way. Should we agree with any of these ideas, should we engage with them, we can fall to the side. We can become the effect of them and spin off into more unconscious lifetimes. One more impression occurred in regards to entities. As we know, they are always very much seeking the opportunity to latch onto individuals, to energetically drain and parasitize, or to displace the individual whose vehicle it is and claim it for themselves. They are certainly latching onto people far more readily than ever before. Instead of magical rituals and astral projections as a means, for example, of entity attachment to unwary practitioners of such things, seems they are utilizing the technology to align themselves with their targets also, again as has been revealed in real side dreams. There were a series of real side experiences that suggested the possibility that the new friends have been practicing the ability of transitioning at will, should they need to do so, that should circumstances become very dire here, they may transition to safer haven, to a safer recognized spot in creation, at a higher life level, to continue on with their awareness process beyond the imploding physical life level. Evidently, when one transitions from the physical, it is usually that the physical body is now ineffective as a vehicle for experiencing the physical level. It is useless and discarded. But should someone transition at will for the reasons mentioned, they are exiting what was, up until the point they did so, a perfectly fine and fully functioning physical vehicle. I had the impression then that the entities somehow have got an inkling of this possibility, that the new friends may well be doing this at some point, that we may well be exiting prematurely a fully functional physical vehicle, and this is perhaps why these entities are clustering so close to myself, and I'm sure other new friends, how I've seen them on the astral, and when I go out of body, how they are encroaching much closer to my launch point than ever before. They are waiting, perhaps, for this opportunity to take possession of a discarded physical vehicle that is fully functional, that if they jump into it quickly enough before degradation, they can assume ownership of. They do steal human vehicles all the time, and perhaps with more frequency than we may realize. But generally, the vehicles stolen are those of the unaware, who lack the protection, real awareness, and the guides afford, and don't know of the effectiveness of the New You song. So they can't steal new friends' physical vehicles unless for some reason we agree to it, which obviously we would not. And so the next best thing is to grab the vehicles we discard, if situations dictate that we do so. And perhaps then the reflection I saw in the mirror, the distorted face staring back at me, was how my entity hijacked vehicle would appear on the real side if I transitioned in such a manner. On the surface, the physical vehicle front left behind, looking normal on the physical life level, but from the real side, looking as distorted as the entity that had leapt into and now had the keeping of my discarded vehicle. Like individuals who look very human on the physical level, but are in fact reptilian, and are seen as such on the real side, like Harry, etc. The real side revealing what an individual is, based on what they are deciding, choosing what they are now, or in this case, what occupied my physical vehicle at that moment in the possible future view. the effect revealed on the real side instantaneously. The unaware peoples who lack the connection to their real awareness and the ears will be very easily aligned with these entities and the lower realms they inhabit through the various technological means and through subliminal programmings, agreement to this entity attachment, and even vehicle stealing can be gleaned unbeknownst by the unaware, subconsciously and unconsciously. And how many movies do we see that incorporate this type of scenario, possession, etc.? The unaware can very easily agree with the themes of such movies, declaring them to be entertaining, and in essence are agreeing then with the stealing of their own physical bodies